Tonight's study is study 85 that I have proclaimed as wisdom, along with the workman's interlinear that we mentioned just a minute ago. And we're in the fourth chapter of Philippians, and we're getting toward the end of it. And we got down to verse 14 last time. And I'm going to go back and just read 13 because it's only just a sentence long. And then we'll get involved in our study with 14 and continue on with there because we got about 9 or 10 verses left, and that's about it in Philippians. And this is Paul dealing with the Philippians about the help that he received from them. And they were about the only ones that did send him any help to begin with. So, you know, this is a verse or two of this that we're going to go through with. I think Paul has used maybe a little grain of salt with it and seasoned it a little bit to where it won't rile up the group there, because he thinks a lot of them. 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. He says, I am strong for the things through which Christ strengthens me. And he's strong for anything that the Lord gives him to do. Paul feels like he has the ability and the wherewith to do that. And then we get into 14. I think we read it last week, but we'll go on and get on with that there again. It says, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. And that's in the King James Version of Philippians, and we're going to do like we always do. I'm going to read you my notes, and then we're going to go to the workman interlinear and read that down out of the Koine Greek. So it says, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with, or having had fellowship with, my afflictions. And his afflictions that he talked about there is a little different from the things that he got involved in other places, because in other places he would get out and work for his living. But here he's still bound with the chain. And being bound with the chain, there he... the needs that Paul felt that he really would like to do or needed to do, he couldn't do them because he was still incarcerated. He hadn't cleared his name with Caesar yet. And so this is where we find ourselves in verse 14 of chapter 4. And we'll just read it down from the Koine Greek. It says, nevertheless, well, ye did, having fellowship with me in the tribulation. And he called it the tribulation, or it was in the Koine Greek, it turned out, the tribulation. And then Jack's notes was this: though Paul's ordeal as a prisoner, the Philippians had sent important things to him, which he addressed both the spiritual and material needs. Their hearts shared with him the bonds of his incarceration. They labored in prayer with him, and Paul graciously recognized their hearts' fellowship in this tribulation. In 14 there. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, there's 5 places here that we need to look at and to see what Jack and Bella had brought forth to us. Because if you read it again, it's the same as, well, I've already read it in the new version of the English. So let's look at the places that we need to go to. Let's go, first off, let's go to Acts 2. Turn back with me to Acts 2. And Acts 2 is on page 1581, where we're going to look, and we're going to look at Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42. And he talks about, and they continued steadfastly. This was early on in Acts. This was before Paul was struck down and blinded. Early on in the early church, it said that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. In 42, in the prayers, is Pesuke, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the noun.
Okay, that's the noun. Okay, so that's what he wanted us to see in Acts 2. And let's go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And that's not too far from where our studies is. 2 Corinthians 8:4. And I've got a lot of notes in my Bible because I finished up the chapter. And and some of them were intermingled with verses that are coming up, so I'm not taking my note things out, because if I do, I'll probably take some out that I need either later on tonight or the next night. So, he says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And I, this might have been where Paul had said, I took from others for your benefit. I'm not sure where I read that, but anyway, I looked at it and saw that somewhere, because Paul never did charge for his teachings, but he would take gifts if they were offered, and so he had taken gifts at least one time and used it for others, because evidently he was about to leave there when the gift come up. So they were giving him maybe a parting gift, and he used it for somebody else's benefit. But he made full proof of his ministry that way. He surely did. And so that was 2 Corinthians 8:4. Okay, let's go to Ephesians now. We're going to look at two places in Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians 3, and you should be able to find that pretty easy. In Ephesians 3:9, I can't hardly do this in Ephesians 3 without going back a little bit, or going forward a little bit, one way or the other. I'm going to go back to 7. It says, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this is the verse that Jack wanted us to see, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, or you could put ages past, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus.
Yeah, when you see the word world in the English, yeah, you better start looking for what it really is in the Greek.
Yeah,
because it could be one of about three or
four
things.
Yeah, okay. And then let's look at Ephesians 4:2. You don't even have to turn the page if you have a companion Bible, because it showed up on the next page. One showed up on one side of the page and the other on the other side. 4:2. Well, let's just read 4:1 and 2. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, and in endeavoring to keep the unity or the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's Ephesians 4:1-3. Now, let's turn over to 1 John at page 1871. I'm almost there. 1 John 1:3. Well, let's just start at the beginning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. Amen. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us, that which we have seen and heard, and declared we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ, John says, or Christ Jesus. So, that was what Jack wanted us to see as we went through this 14 of Philippians 4. She said, notwithstanding, you've done well that you've communicated with my afflictions. But he says, now, 15. And every time that I know that Paul writes a now, I almost look for the but that goes with it. But now. He says, now ye Philippians, going back to the King James Version, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving or receiving, but ye only. So this is what Paul is saying here, and I'm going to read my notes, and then we'll get back in Jack's book. He said, now ye Philippians know or understand to remember also that from the beginning or in the beginning of the gospel of the good news, When at the time of I departed, or when I departed or left from Macedonia, no Eudesis, that's church, or I think the better word is we use, called assembly, communicated or spoke with me as concerning giving and receiving. Giving is dosis in the Greek, and receiving is lepsis in the Greek. But accept ye only. And then there's about four or five or six places here that Jack and Melda wanted us to see. But let's go back to the original, the Koine, and let's just read the Koine here out of the Koine into the English, because if I had to read it out of the Koine, you'd never get it. Knowing also you, O Philippians, that in beginning of the good message when I came from Macedonia, not any with me assembled, had fellowship unto word of giving or receiving, if not you alone. Which is fairly decent there. Sometimes they really don't do a good job, but that was fairly decent. And then they bring it down to the more modern English, and you, O Philippians, know also that in beginning of the good message, when I came out from Macedonia, not any assembly had fellowship with me unto the word of giving and receiving, if not you alone.
Well, I got a question. When he says, they know that in the beginning of the gospel, when he left Macedonia, and he ties that beginning of whatever gospel that is to the event of him leaving Macedonia.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's when he first got there in Acts 16 or so, and it's the kingdom gospel, yeah, or if he's talking about the church gospel, the body of Christ gospel that is prevalent in Philippians. I wonder if he's taking them all the way back and say, you know, when I, you guys know that you supplied my needs only from the time that, even back in the kingdom gospel. I wonder if that's what he's, well, I wonder which time, which gospel we're talking
okay
about there.
I think Jack answers this.
Oh, okay,
in
good.
In his notes.
I figured he probably would. Okay. Because when you see that term, the gospel.
Yeah.
That's a very dispensational thing. You better start looking at the context,
right,
and what the speaker's talking about. And
well, I had to go back to this when I was finishing my notes on the full chapter, because it left me with a big question. If he was going to send this back to these guys, how could he write it in a letter and say that he got it when he hadn't sent it yet? You know, so this kind of explains it here. So maybe Jack can straighten this out here. And he says, the Philippian church stood out in respect for their desire to help Paul. Along the road, he's going somewhere. Paul was met by Silas and Timothy with contributions from the Philippians. If Jack hadn't said that, I'd have been in a quandary knowing, well, he was writing this letter and it was going to go back to him. How could he write the letter and tell him that he'd received something and when he had never sent the letter to him? So I think this was the time that he met with Silas and Timothy, and he had already left the Philippians, and they had money for him, and this was where the hired house come from, I think. This explains to me where the Philippians were paying for his hired house there until he could see Caesar to get his dealings done. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it's got some
credence to it. Yeah.
Okay. With contributions from the Philippians, they were the only church who went out of their way to contribute to the poor brethren, and Paul was grateful and wanted them to know that. And that was what he had written on 15 there to make it rather clear, because if we'd have went on toward the end of this chapter, I don't know how I would have got it right, because he said he was appreciative of what had happened there. Also, Jack says, or Melda, whoever did the notes, said, see Acts 18:5, and let's go back again to Acts. And we'll go to 18:5, and this is, if you got a companion Bible, it is on page 1626. We're going to look at 18:5. Well, we're starting 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And they opposed themselves and blasphemed, and he shook his raiment, and he said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So that kind of clears up a little bit of that. Now, okay, that was Acts 18:5. Now, we need to go to Romans chapter 12 and do that. Romans 12. Okay, Romans 12, it says, let's look at it. 10 through 14. Be kindly affectionate, Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. So here again is the giving there. And that was on page 1687. I guess it don't do you any good to know it now. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Page 1741, if you have a companion Bible, let's look at 2 Corinthians 9. C. Second Corinthians 9. And it still deals with the giving. Because he says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So, it still has the theme of giving and taking care of those who don't have. Now, let's just go two pages. 1743, and look at Corinthians 11:9. Oh, yeah, okay. Here's where I read it. I want to go to 11:5 and read through 9. Because it says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? And he says in verse 8, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do your service. When he was speaking to the Corinthians. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so I will keep myself. So that answers the question right there. The Word of God will give you the answer if you're diligent enough to look for it. And so there it is in 2 Corinthians 11:8-9. Okay. One more. I want to go over to James. Let me go to James. 1849 is where it's at. Okay, it's the epistle, James 1:17. And he says this is the first time in these two books that we've been in, that we've been in the first part of James. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. To be a first fruits of his creatures. And you know, I read this a long, long time ago. And I come to the understanding there that when Christ was on the earth, it came to me that he never cast a shadow, because there was no darkness in the Son of God. He had to take sin from man to die. In him was no sin, so therefore death didn't have no bearing on him until he took sin. And because God makes it quite clear in the book of, in the Gospel of John, that he was the light. He was the light of the world for the time that it took them to make the sun, the moon, and the stars and place them in where they are now in the orbit, or somewhere close to where they are now. Anyway, cometh down from the Father of lights. If you were from the Father of lights, you couldn't be darkness, because God's light always overcome darkness. And so the Son of God was the same way, part of the Godhead. Now, it tells in one place there that Peter, when he walked down the streets of Jerusalem, people would lay their, people out there with all these problems that they had, in the shadow of Peter would heal them. But it never says Christ had the shadow, but Christ could heal any and all. He didn't miss anybody. When Christ did it, he did it. But some of them he told said, don't tell them I did it, but they did anyway.
Yeah.
How in the world could you not, you know, in that sense? Okay, enough preaching. Let's get back to the study. Verse 16. Back to the King James Version. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessities. So, evidently, they did send more than one time. I don't think the deal with Silas and Timothy would be counted once and again. I think that would have just been one time. I might be wrong on that, but the way it's read out here was, you sent once and again unto my necessity. So let's read my notes. For even, he says, in Thessalonica ye sent evidently twice to my necessities or appreciated need. And I put here no added scripture to this verse, as it would appear to be, or would appear to be, a downgrade to them or a negative unto them. And so Paul doesn't get on to them about the amount of time that, or the amount of times that they sent him money, but they knew his situation. They knew that he was bound with a chain. Word had already gotten back to the Philippians that he wasn't going to get to see Caesar right away, so he's staying in this place that evidently he was spending the money on that they had given him to stay there until he got heard by Caesar. And so we're going to read 16 and read what Jack wrote, but the fact is is pretty self-explanatory, because even in Thessalonica, both once and twice, unto the need, my you sent. And to bring it down to the English version, because even in Thessalonica, both once and twice, unto my needs you sent. And then this is Jack's notes, and there's no scripture that goes with it. So this is Paul speaking to these people and thanksgiving for what they did for him. The Thessalonian assembly had much more material wealth among its members, but the Philippians sent help to Paul while he was in Thessalonica on two occasions. Paul speaks of being hindered by Satan to the Thessalonians. The express nature of this hindrance can only be speculated about. Possibly the same hindrance for the Thessalonians was also hindering his work toward those in Philippi. So there wasn't any other things that needed to go with that, according to Jax and Melda's things. And so we can go right on to verse 17. What time we got, Ron?
It's 9:10.
Okay, we're doing pretty good. Paul says in 17, after he said that, not because I desire a gift, full stop, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That was the King James rendering. And here's my notes. Let's read it this way. And Paul says, not I desire a gift. Not that I desire a gift. But he never really ever turned one down. But I desire fruit. And desire there is kind of the same word as seek or look for or look to. A fruit. That may abound or add to the increasing to your account or your cause. So he used it for a good purpose. And it wasn't that he... The deal of this letter is not to ask him for more gifts or more money or whatever they were giving, but to thank them basically for what they did do for him that he couldn't do for himself during that time. And so 17 has, let me get here. Let's look at it in the Koine Greek. He said, not that I seek after the gift or a gift, but rather I seek the fruit that abounds unto account of you. And to bring it on down to the more modern English, not because I seek after the gift, but rather I seek the fruit that abounds unto your account. So, whatever it was that they sent, Paul had used it for the cause of Christ and the good news. Let's see what Jack said about it. The gift, very possibly, alludes to a particular gift that they had sent Paul. Certainly he appreciated their heart's gift. However, he desired fruit from them to abound toward their accounts. And Jack says, this is business talk. And most would understand his reference. And so there's three reference verses here. There's Proverbs, Matthew, and Galatians. So let's look and use this for time. We're going to look at Proverbs 11:30. That is on page 1880. We're going to go back a couple of dispensations. 880. We'll get there in a minute. I'm close. Proverbs, what did I say, 11? Proverbs 11:30. And it's next to the last verse of Proverbs 11. He said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner will be recompensed. I suppose that's the way that's supposed to read out. So that's Proverbs 11. There. And the next one is Matthew 6. We got a lot in Matthew 5 and 6. And toward the end of this study here in Philippians, we're going to go to Matthew 6 and we're going to look at verses 32 to the end of the chapter. Well, let's look at 31 first, because it says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have needs of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Pretty good thought there. Pretty good saying there in 17. Okay, then let's go to Galatians. And we're going to look for Galatians 5, page 1757. I'm almost there. One page off. 1757, Galatians 5, we're going to look at verses. Twenty-two and 23 anyway. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is basically self-control. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So that was 17. We got time to do one more?
Yeah, it's 9:20.
Okay, let's look at 18. And that'll get us over onto the last page of Philippians. And the first page is Colossians. And Paul says this in 18. We'll have 5 verses left for the next study. But I have all and abound, he says. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, and an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So, see, he's writing back to these people, and he's talking about what they got from Silas, Timothy. And so here is the other part. This is the part of Epaphroditus. And if that come later, then it couldn't have been in this letter. It wouldn't have been part of this letter. 18. And so I'll just read my notes on 18 and we'll get started. But now I have all and abound. And I added the now to it. I can't hardly do that without reading it in Paul, right? He said, I am full, or I have been filled, having received of or from Epaphroditus, my fellow worker, the things which were sent from you. And he calls it an odor, O-D-O-U-R, odor. And Paul understands that these things that are freely given without any need for return, it is the Greek osame. That's what an odor is, an osame of a sweet smell. You die. A sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. So, there's 3 or 4 things we need to look at here.
Hold on a second, Papa. I lost power talk connection.